Yeah, I'm Mike.
I'm Steve.
And we're the most average people of all time, looking to level up to the people who inspire us. The purpose of this podcast is to expose our insecurities, document getting over them, and give you a game plan to do the same.
Welcome to Grow Spurt. What's up, everybody? This is the 17th take on this intro. We're going to go, we're just going to get after it this time. So fourth episode, welcome. This was our fourth challenge. It was inspired by Tim Ferriss. It was the 10% challenge and laying on a floor in a restaurant or Starbucks. Yeah. Kind of want to explain a little more.
Yeah. Before we get into that, I think it's pretty brutal that it's going to take 17 takes and you're going to listen to this full podcast after and you're like, you should have taken 30. Or, that was brutal, guys. So, the 10% challenge is from... It's from Noah Kagan, who's an entrepreneur. He's friends with Tim Ferriss. He has some company. We don't really know anything about it.
No. If you need tacos, though, he'll hook you up.
Yeah. Quick Google search. He comes up, you know, tacos. So the idea behind it is to go up to a Starbucks, go up to any place you're going to buy something and ask for a 10% discount for no reason. So you're going to go up to the register. You're going to ask for 10% off. You have to ask twice. You can't tell them why you're doing it. And
yeah, that was a big thing I noticed that he said, like, you can't say it's an experiment.
Yeah.
And he also didn't like doing it in groups, which I don't know if that meant like the way we did it, because we did it separately, is that fine? Or did he want it really like you have to do it by yourself, no one else around?
Yeah, I took groups as like the two of us up at the register at the exact same time, or like laying on the floor at the exact same time.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, I don't know either. I feel like we did all right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
And if you think about that further, like just seeing the after results to kind of foreshadow going forward, like how much easier it got as we did it, like it definitely accomplished what we were trying to accomplish.
And I think it was kind of cool to have you or me looking at like people and the environment around, because like you're kind of in your head when you're doing the challenge, you're just focused on the challenge, you're not seeing the outside environment as much.
So it provides the perspective and...
Yeah, so I thought that was a cool part of it. Just to kind of give some background, like, we went into the city like we normally do. So I took the train in. Kind of describe that feelings on the train.
That train ride was stressful. It was, like, as stressful as starting this podcast off.
Yeah.
You know, like, you just get in your head, you start thinking about the dumbest scenarios. Like, what happens if she says why?
Yeah.
It just kept coming up, and I'm running through scenarios in my head that do not make sense right now that we've done it. But sitting on that train, I was like, I might get shot by the police in Penn Station.
Yeah, it's funny, too. I take that train every day to work. It's a 25-minute train, and usually I'm reading a book or I'm listening to something, so the 25 minutes usually flies by. That was, like, the longest train of my life because, like, you're just sitting there thinking and anticipating the entire time. And like we said in a previous podcast... talking about the anticipation is usually where the stress comes from. It wasn't the case for improv, but this time the anticipation was the entire part of the
100%. I was like on the train sitting there, hand the guy my ticket. After that, I was like practicing my lines to go order a cup of coffee at Starbucks. We got into the city way too early, first of all. So every challenge that we've done so far, we haven't allotted enough time to what we're doing.
Right.
So last night we're like, yeah, let's get in there early. Let's give it time. But even that, like, that was so much thought. Like, you literally stand on a line. It happened that there was no line in Starbucks.
Yeah.
And then you order a coffee. That takes 30 seconds. We gave ourselves 2 hours to complete this challenge.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, and I think it was more of me, like, I was thinking we have to go to 4 different Starbucks. It has to be Starbucks specifically. And that it was going to take, like, some weird amount of time to find all 4 locations. So I was like, that was the reason we needed 2 hours, so I can have enough time to find 4 Starbucks. And then we realized it doesn't matter about Starbucks necessarily. It's just, like, you need a register. You need some people around
you. need to buy something.
It's not. So, but again, it's better to have more time, like you said, than to feel rushed. But there was no reason for 2 hours.
Yeah, so the theory behind this challenge is that Tim Ferriss says, like, in life, if you're going to be successful, you're going to have to ask for things all throughout your life. If you go talk to a VC, you're going to have to talk to him. You're going to have to ask for funding. You're going to have to speak up and ask for things that don't seem practical to be successful in life.
So,
yeah, and I feel like there's always something in your life that you can relate that to.
Yeah.
If I'm working full-time like I am now, going in and asking for a raise at the end of the year or even middle of the year when it's not necessarily a time to do it, this is a challenge that's going to help you be confident enough to make that.
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, just kind of – it's uncomfortable, man. Like, oof.
So to go back on the train and kind of being in that anticipation stage – we were talking about which was going to be harder, and I thought for sure there was no question that laying on the floor was going to be harder. Yeah. And it seemed
let's set up the laying on the floor quick, just so everyone can follow along. Yeah, so the laying on the floor, it's from the 4-hour work week. It's another challenge. It's another challenge that makes no sense, but it's just attacking being uncomfortable in front of other people. So the idea is that you go into a restaurant, a coffee shop, whatever. You literally just go in, gently sit down on the floor, face up, back on the floor, facing the ceiling, and you just lay there for 15, 20, 30 seconds. You're not allowed to say anything to anybody. You can't be like, oh, I'm doing a challenge, oh, blah, blah, blah. You just sit there. If someone asks, are you all right? You go, yep, I'm fine. I'm doing good.
Just taking a rest,
rest in the back, whatever you have to say. So now you can go into talking about the top of the mind.
So we're back on the train heading into Penn, and I asked, you know, which do you think is going to be harder? And I was like, laying on the floor is for sure more difficult to me. And at the time, you said it's not as much of like a solid, like,
yeah,
it's up in the air right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you also mentioned, though, it's because we did the 10% challenge first, and that was on top of the mind. Kind of talk about, though, like the difference.
Yeah, my stress levels were elevated on that train, and I'm sitting there. I couldn't even think about laying on the floor because I was worried about this 10%. I was worried about getting shot in Penn Station by a cop for asking for a discount. I was worried about this lady yelling at me. I'm getting kicked out. Everyone's looking at me like, well, who's this idiot? Like, I couldn't get past the fact that if she says why, I don't have a good response.
Yeah, I could tell looking at you on the train that you're just running through every possible scenario. And the biggest one, though, was the why.
Yeah.
And it's funny now, like, we can kind of lead up. We went into Penn and we went into the Starbucks in Penn, and you decide to go first. Kind of explain that whole situation.
I wanted a line. For some reason, I wanted a line in my head so I could, like, sit there and wait and, like, watch the register process. Like, see someone order a coffee, see how many, like, I just didn't want to, like, get into it. I, like, needed more info on the stupid, it sounds so stupid right now.
Yeah.
But, like, in the moment, this was all very real.
Yeah.
So, I'm sitting on, there's no line. We get to the Starbucks, there's no line. I'm like, geez. Then I'm, like, checking out the cashier. I'm like, oh, I kind of like this guy. Like, I feel like he'd play along. He was kind of dressed, like, a little more spunky, however you want to say, like, younger guy. Like, it didn't look like the old lady that I had in my head who was going to get pissed off. One of the other things I was worried about is I thought she wasn't going to understand what I said. Like, oh, can I have 10% off? Like, yeah, here's whole milk. Or here's 1% milk. Like, oh, thank you. And then just walk out. Like, and I didn't want to go up to the register and order a coffee, not do the challenge, and then, like, come back to you and be like, oh, I got to do it again, and I have a coffee.
Yeah, now I got to buy another one.
Yeah. So all those things are going through my mind. I'm online. Well, I'm on the non-existent line, but I'm waiting for the one person ahead of me who's paying for their coffee. They call me up. I just, like there's a big, like, build up to this, and then it just, like, happens. Like, hey, how are you? What do you want? I'll have a black coffee, please. Okay, great. That'll be $2.87.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, would it be possible to get 10% off? Why? I don't know, just like a good morning discount. Let me look. And she just goes in and types a few buttons in and gave me 10% off. There was nothing more than that. Like, how is that possible?
And Tim Ferriss himself talks about how, like, this is such a profound thing. And I think going into this, we're like, how is this possibly going to be, like, how is this going to change our lives in any way?
Yeah.
And then we realized after you got it first try, this is the first time you've ever done anything like this.
Yeah.
This is the first attempt and you get a success. And we're thinking, I just stare at you, make eye contact and, like, kind of like a smile, like, how many times have we missed an opportunity to do that?
Yeah.
And how many times financially have we missed out on 10%?
Yeah.
And think about that money saved over a year by doing that.
Yeah, or even like you said, like to scale it out. Like this whole challenge was about being afraid to ask. How many times have you not asked for a raise? Like, or have you not done this? Or have you, you know, there's like so many opportunities where it's just like, just ask.
Right.
And you, all they can say is no. It's not the wise on the train where they're like, oh, I'm going to get shot in Penn Station. Like literally after you're done, the picture becomes much more clear and you're like, she's either going to say yes or no. And that's going to be the end of it.
Right.
There's nothing more to it.
Yeah. For me, so on the train, thinking it through, I definitely wasn't running through as many scenarios as you were, and I wasn't as nervous about the 10% challenge. I'd say the more nervous I was about the 10% was them saying no, but I'm forced to ask one more time to like complete the challenge, quote unquote.
Yeah.
That was like more the problem than even the initial question asking once. I didn't think that was as much of an issue for me. I don't know if... Like, was asking twice difficult for you if you had to do it, or is it more of just doing it in general?
The why was the biggest question going in. That why, if she said why, I was, like, trying to brainstorm, like, the perfect answer. And I didn't want to, like, just freeze or, you know? So that, I think that's kind of along the same line. Asking twice or answering a why is kind of the same realm. It's not going to be, like, why, and then you're going to go, oh, by the way, can I get 10% off? Like, you're never going to have to say that again. So I feel like we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So you complete the challenge and you get a yes. So you obviously get that 10% off. You're walking out of Starbucks. Could you have easily went into, like, the salad station and, like, done it right away from the jump? Like, talk about all the stress leading up to it. As soon as you complete it, was the stress completely gone? Like, where were you at on it? If you had their
I don't know if immediately the stress was completely gone, but after we laid on the floor, the stress was completely gone to continue asking. Like, literally everywhere we stopped after any item that we bought after laying on the floor in the city, we asked for 10% off, and I'm 2 for 3 right now.
Yeah.
Which is insane. So we went to Blue Maze, which is essentially Chipotle. I had like a 45-second conversation with the girl to get a discount. She's like, yeah, we don't have discounts. I'm like, well, can you try another discount? Like, there was no discount ever offered, and I'm just asking her questions to get this discount. And eventually she's just like, I'm just going to give it to you because I don't want to deal with you anymore.
Yeah.
And not in like a rude way or anything else, but she's like, dude, I work here. Like,
you just got to take in consideration how little they get asked that to. Like, you think it's a simple thing, but there's no way anyone's really doing that.
Yeah.
So it throws them so off guard that they're like, I guess, sure. Like, if it was one of those where you asked and then I asked and the third person asked, like, they're just going to say no immediately.
Yeah.
But because it's like, it doesn't happen, that just the one-off chance where you say it, they're like, I guess.
And the one time I got denied, I bought a bottle of water. I go, hey, can I get 10% off? He goes, why? I'm like, I don't know, just like a nice guy discount. He goes, I don't know, let me look. He calls over his other manager and asks her, hey, do we have any discounts? And she's like, what are you, an employee? I'm like, no. She goes, so why would I give you a discount? I'm like, I don't know.
Why not?
And she goes, yeah, I don't think we have those. And the guy who was initially the cashier goes, man, I'm sorry. Like, you're apologizing to me for not giving me a discount.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
And for you asked for zero reasons.
Yeah.
There was no, like, justification for it by any means.
Yeah.
So to backtrack, you completed your challenge and we leave Penn to go to the next location. Happens to be, you realize how many freaking Starbucks are in the city. Holy smokes. We walk 100 yards, there's one every time.
Yeah, brainstorming last night, we're like, oh, there might be 4 in the entire city. We're going to have to take a subway.
Yeah, we're like on Google Maps, like putting fucking marks on the map, figuring out where it is. There's like one every 10 steps. So we go up the escalator. It's like, another one across the street. So we go into that
I've never seen that Starbucks in my life, by the way. We've walked by that Starbucks 100 times. Never noticed it.
I feel like if you're getting Starbucks, you're going to get it in Penn, or you're going to walk a little ways and then you're finding one eventually.
On like the main road.
Yeah, you're not going to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so super simple location for the first two. I walk in, again, pretty empty.
Yeah.
Zero line. I walk in, and I'm essentially the next customer. Go up, and I'm like, hey, George, how you doing? You know, like, just trying to be, like, make it comfortable.
Yeah, that was your thing on the train, the name thing.
Yeah.
And, like...
Oh, that was big for me, yeah.
And to backtrack, like, I was on the train, like, dude, is that a good idea? Like, I'm in my head sitting there, like, fuck, I gotta get her name now, like... The name's important. The name's important. The name's important.
Talk about that.
So just to go quick, I get up to my lady, and she has a name tag on, but she like hand wrote it herself, and she has the worst handwriting of all time. Out of all the baristas at Starbucks, hers is the worst handwriting. I could not read her handwriting. So I got like stressed about that in the moment.
So go ahead. Yeah, we're going to make a joke there. We're just going to call her Chicken Scratch. Yeah. yeah, so I walk across the street, walk in. And approach the register. It's like, what's up, George? How are you? And he's like, doing well. I'm like, yeah, I'll just take a medium black coffee. He's like, yeah, sure, no problem. Rings it up, same thing, like 287 or 309 or whatever. I'm like, hey, George, you mind just throwing 10% on that? And he's like, what do you mean? Yeah, just 10% if you don't mind. He's like, yeah, no problem. So he tries to go through, same thing with your lady, just putting in random buttons, opening the register. Yeah. I'm like, what's going on here?
Code.
Yeah, so he's opening the register and closing it. And then he realizes, and he tried to type in his employee discount, but yeah. I guess because he was handling a customer, like, wasn't allowed. But again, we considered it a success because he was 100% going to give me the discount.
Yeah.
Just turned out to be, for whatever reason with the system, he couldn't do an employee discount for a customer transaction.
Yeah, we glitched the machine.
But he was like a super nice guy about it. Like, they almost, I look at it as, it's something that makes them feel good in a way, and it's like they're going to want to do it for you.
Yeah.
I think if I was like a worker, I'd kind of want to do that.
Yeah, even talk about Dwayne Reed with that lady. She's writing her name on the receipt. Like, we asked for 10% off. She doesn't give it to you. She's writing her name on the receipt. She's like going through this thing, plugging your phone number here. Like, I think if we followed her instructions, we probably made like $100 on that visit.
Yeah, she was, it's funny. They're like, they'll like team up with you and like try to like win for you. They're like, oh, you can do this. If you read the barcode below the receipt here, you might get a discount. Like, they're trying to offer you ways to get it.
And, like, holding up the line to do so.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought that was interesting. But, yeah, so after completing that challenge, I feel I'm not going to ever really be uncomfortable with that one much at all again.
Yeah, it's something that we talked about, how it's one of those things that you could practice daily and – anytime you buy something, you could be at Chipotle, you could be at CVS. That one's probably not going to work out. The grocery store, wherever you're at, kind of shoot your shot and see what happens.
Yeah, I would say, you know, a Stop and Shop or the Dwayne Reeds of the world, like, they're going to be a lot less likely. They're probably going to be the 1 or 2 out of 10s.
Yeah.
But, you know, especially, like, mom and pop shops or anything like that, like, I feel like it could be above 5. Out of 10, I would say.
Yeah, and I would even counter that because I think going on the train, we probably thought that about Starbucks.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So, like, it might just be a matter. I think it's more uncomfortable to go. Like, I was at the grocery store tonight, and, like, besides coupons, I don't think the grocery store has ever given a discount. Like,
yeah, that's a tough one, yeah.
So, like, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to ask. But you never know because sitting on that train, I would have said the same thing about Starbucks.
Yeah. But, yeah, like you said, it's definitely something that's a daily practice. But it is one of those things where the stress decreases almost immediately with this challenge.
Yeah.
It was one of those, I feel like you do a lot of challenges and it gets 5-10% easier. Yeah. This was drastically easier after the first time.
It was kind of like you just had to get over that hurdle and now it's like, all right, I have this. I have this skill. I have this power.
Yeah, so to give you guys perspective, like, you and I were not, this is not something we do. We've talked about in the past on podcasts, we're fairly reactive. We're not, like, being proactive and asking for a discount. And just to give you an idea of the confidence it gave us, we walked into, like, a prêt-à-manger.
Manger.
So we walk in, and I go up to the register. I'm like, hey lady, you got a dumpa in here? And she's like, what? I'm like, yeah, just a dumpa. A dumpa? I'm like, yeah, a bathroom. She's like, oh, bathroom. I've never heard it called that before.
I'm going to start using that one.
But if I tried to do that challenge first go in the morning, yeah. There's no shot of doing that.
Yeah, kind of, you know, we talked about this, how you go up and do that, and it sounds stupid, but it's just like, there was a lady and a guy, and they literally, you went to the bathroom, I sat there, these people talked about this for 45 seconds, joking back and forth, the kid thought it was the funniest thing ever, I'm just sitting there, and then they just went back to their lives, taking whoever was next in line. You come out, you just sit down, and you just like sat there, and no one even knew that you were in the store.
It was unbelievable. I would, you know, in the past think about a situation like that where, yeah, maybe I can go do it, but then I got dip. Like, yeah. I got to leave right away. I literally sat down in the booth while you were in the bathroom, and I couldn't have been more comfortable. No one even cared about me.
Yeah.
And even the guy and the lady working, it's like I didn't exist, like you said.
Yeah.
They got a good laugh out of it. They're like, oh, I'll use that one. And then it's like they just move on with their day.
Yeah. And again, it's not something that like, oh, you know, Tim Ferriss has his 10% challenge. We have our dumper challenge where you got to go ask for a dumper at the Pret a Manger. But just like keep, you know, where are the boundaries and how can you push those a little bit for yourself, not for any.
Yeah, that brings up a good point. You're talking about where's the line where you're kind of pushing to rudeness and I look at it as almost like disturbing the peace almost.
Yeah.
Where is that line? And we were trying to run through scenarios and we realized like you can't do that. Like the best way is just push that line and then dial it back from there.
Yeah, you have to find the line through practice. You can't find it through sitting at a table brainstorming where the line's at.
Yeah. And then just like it's just random things. There's always opportunities where we pass by a massage parlor and you walk in, you're like, excuse me, you open? And she's like, no. And there's like chairs, massage tables all stacked up. You're like, yeah, do you need help moving these? Like, it's just the most random thing ever, but it got us in the mindset just to do more of that.
Yeah, it just, speaking up, solid.
Yeah, so I think, we probably did the 10% challenge maybe 5 times throughout the day in some capacity. Yeah. And I thought it was an overall success.
And if you're following along doing the challenges, it literally takes the amount of time it takes to order a Starbucks coffee and pay. So don't overschedule your time here.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's something that could be a daily practice. And if it's something you would struggle with, highly recommend to do it. Because it is, like Tim Ferriss said, very profound because now you're looking for those opportunities. And especially financially, it's a way to potentially save money. And I don't know if I said this yet, but it... like 5 minutes ago, I had an idea. Tracking all the times you've succeeded on that 10% and deducting that amount that you've saved based on that 10%, it would be super cool to have that documented over a course of a year.
Yeah.
Or even if you were like your life.
Yeah, definitely.
That would be intense. That would be a cool thing. Your life. That would be awesome.
You're 80 years old sitting on the couch. Yeah, I'm up 10 grand.
Dude, it'd probably be a lot of freaking money. Yeah. That would be awesome.
I like what you say also, that the easy things to do are the easy things not to do. And I feel like this is one of those ones that, like, we're talking now, we got a little momentum where it's like, yeah, we could do this every time. It's something that you can get away from. So it's one of those things that is easy to do, but it's also easy not to do. So you got to kind of keep it on top of the mind, keep doing it.
Yeah. Again, like you said earlier, you got to schedule it.
Yeah.
And even if it doesn't, it's not uncomfortable anymore, again, it's still easy not to do. So like you said, it's easy to get away from it. But there's no reason not to do it because it is saving money at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's not a challenge where there's no longer value after it's not comfortable.
Yeah.
You know?
And there's no downside.
Right.
They say no and you're like, all right.
Okay, see ya.
Yeah. Add it to the list. We're 70 for 212.
And it'd be kind of cool to like see, all right, this store, we're getting really good results here. Like, we're getting 7 out of 10s at this place. Yeah. There's no always we're going to say it here. We're 0 out of 100 at this place. All right, probably cancel this one.
I don't think Dwayne Reed has discounts.
Yeah. We established after 100 times, no discounts.
You're paying full price at Dwayne Reed. All right, so now we're back to walking. We get done with that. We got a little bit of energy. We're kind of good, you get that dopamine hit a little bit. You're good. You're feeling good. Next challenge is up. You got to go lay on the floor.
Yeah, so we did, after the, just to say, after laying on the floor, we did schedule improv comedy, and that was on, like, 53rd. So, like, we had from Penn Station to 53rd Ave. That was kind of our space that we were walking. So we were on, whatever, 7th Ave, and we were walking towards a store and just kind of trying to find one that made sense for laying on the floor.
Yeah, and again, there was a lot of those, we seemed to have a lot of questions that come up beforehand, like, oh, how many people?
Yeah.
What's the right setting? There's a walkway here. Can I lay in the walkway? Like, we come up with all these scenarios to make it way harder.
Yeah.
Rather than just going in, laying on the floor, and being done with it.
Yeah, and we're even talking like, oh, we should, like, okay, if we can't find a store, just lay on the curb. But then you're like, I think that's almost easier. And then yeah. I thought about it, it's probably a great, it probably is easier because it's just, I don't know, something about being on the curb didn't seem as scary as walking in an actual restaurant.
Yeah, I think it's that people are more passive. So, like, they see you, but then they keep walking, keep going on with your life. Whereas if you're in the restaurant on the floor, whoever's sitting at that table is in it with you. Like, they're not leaving.
Right.
And if they do leave, they got to walk around you. Like, you're a new piece of furniture at McDonald's.
Yeah. Yeah, so we walked maybe 2-3 blocks, just kind of scanning the area, and we came across the Pret place again, and there was like probably a handful of people in there. There was a couple walkways that made sense, like the layout of the store kind of made sense for this, and you're like, all right, let's see it, let's try this one. And I was telling you where I'm not as proactive, where I'm going to do it on my own, but if you're like, Steve, this is the one, and you tell me to do it, it's a lot easier for me to do it. I just make split decisions and say, yeah, all right, perfect. So I had my coffee in my hand, I walk in the door, literally walk around the corner, put my coffee on the table, and I just sit down like super slow and just lay down there for about 30 seconds.
In the main alleyway. Like, if you order your food and you're gonna sit at a table, you have to step over this motherfucker. Like, he's dead on the floor right there. There's a lady sitting like studying for the nursing exam.
Yeah.
There's this other lady who has no idea what's going on. And there's these two ladies, and then there's probably two people ordering food. So these people are ordering food, and this guy's just laying on the floor. I'm outside the window watching. This one lady, she lost it. She panned back and forth 7 times in 30 seconds, and she looked legitimately nervous, like, what is going on here? Then she would pan to the window. I'm cracking up laughing. I had to, like, leave because I was going to try to film it, try to get, like, a little, document the event.
Yeah.
But I couldn't even do it. I was crying laughing. This lady was sketched out as could be. The people who are ordering food have no idea what's going on. It was like an experience to watch.
Yeah, that's why I talked about earlier when we started the podcast, like, having you see that. Yeah. I'm not seeing any of that.
Yeah.
I'm literally laying on my back, and my eyes are closed, and that's all I'm doing. I'm not seeing anyone around me. I'm not getting to experience, like, the reactions. So I thought that was a good idea to have someone else to do that.
Yeah. And back to those concerns, like, oh, you can't go with a buddy. Like, I'm not in the store with you. It's not, it was very – I don't agree with that buddy statement.
Yep. Yeah, no, definitely. So overall, it was definitely – it's definitely uncomfortable walking in, but then you lay on the ground and you almost kind of lose track of time for a little bit. You're just like, what am I doing right now? Your eyes are closed and you're just laying on a floor. You don't know if it's been 10 seconds or 5 minutes. Like, you have no sense of time, I feel like. Did you agree? Like, did you?
Yeah, yeah. That? For me, it was kind of like a concern. I want to make sure I stay long enough. So I kind of just kept sitting there.
Yeah.
Like, when I went and did my part of it, I was like, I don't know if that was 7 seconds or like 2 minutes, but I'm going to sit another, like, I started counting in my head. I was like, 1, 2, 3. I'm like, all right, that was at least 10 seconds. I got that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's got to be enough time.
And I would say another thing that I realized is you're making other people more uncomfortable than what you're doing.
Oh, 100%.
Like, the people around you are more like anxious and nervous, like, what's happening, than you doing the challenge.
That lady who was studying for the nursing exam had no idea what was going on. Her stress level elevated as could be. Like, more than me on the train wondering what would happen if the lady asked why at Starbucks. This lady was double that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good challenge. the store was all time because you walk in one way. It was like an L-shaped walkway. Walk in, I walk, make that right, lay on the floor, just dip out the back entrance, and we keep moving. It was like the
clean most, floors.
Yep. Oh, the floor is so clean.
Yeah. The Pret a Manger.
So yeah, that was a success for me. I would like to talk about kind of how that made you feel. You asked me to go in this store, and it was almost a snap decision for me. I just did it, and then you had to do yours next.
Yeah.
Kind of talk about like how that amplified the stress a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. That was super impressive. I was like, damn, that was good. Like, it put me in a spot. Like, I don't know if I have that.
Yeah.
Like, I was impressed. So yeah. You just like, fuck it, I'm going.
Yeah.
He just went in. He literally puts his coffee on the table. That no, it made no sense. It's a Starbucks coffee. Just pops it on the table. And he's just like, he just sits down. He walked in the store, put a coffee on a table, and laid on the floor. I was like, damn. It stressed me out. So now we're walking. I'm like, man, I don't know if I have this.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like nerves. It was more like, I'm not talented enough to pull this off right now. So I guess it was nerves. But like in my mind at the time, I was like, I don't know if I have this skill set.
Yeah.
So we walk, we find a McDonald's, we get in a McDonald's, and I'm like freaking out.
Yeah, so before we even get to that McDonald's, I would say we like discussed maybe 5 or 6 locations, and we're just like, I think this one's closed. This one's not, you know, a restaurant. We should probably do a restaurant. Kind of just walking through those scenarios, pushing it off a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, we wind up landing at a McDonald's, and it was one of those 2-level dealies. And like the main workers and handling all the food and orders were downstairs, and then the upstairs was the seating and eating area.
Yeah, it's the McDonald's in Times Square. It kind of like overlooks Times Square.
Yeah. Yeah, that the famous staircase.
It's like probably the nicest. In terms of views, it's got to be the top. Yeah. Top 5 McDonald's views of all time.
And the thing about, we had no interest in looking at that view. We didn't take that in at all.
Yeah.
You're just like thinking about this damn challenge we gotta do.
Yeah, yeah. So we go upstairs, we're sitting at a table. So we did mine a little different. You just walked in the store, you sat there, whatever else. Mine went in there. This was the first time in the day. I was happy we had so much time. I kept checking my phone, like, all right, we still got an hour. I got a little bit of time. Like, I'm good. We got a little bit of time. Checking the phone, sitting there. We probably sat there 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was
a considerable amount of time.
It was at least 15 to 20.
Yeah.
At least.
So let's call it 25 minutes, sitting at the table upstairs at McDonald's. And I'm like, I mean, we're doing this challenge. There's literally a homeless dude in the back of McDonald's just passed out on the bench.
He's literally in the back booth snoozing.
Yeah, and he like, when we had got there, he was eating his food, and then he's like, yeah, I'm done with my food, I'm going to take a nap. And he's just like taking a nap. There was another guy at a table sleeping on the table. So like, people are sleeping everywhere. And I'm sitting in this McDonald's with my Starbucks coffee cup, like, stressed.
Yeah.
The stress was high.
Yeah, I was like, I was trying to find the balance where I knew you needed a little bit of a push, and I was like, all right, this is the time, Mikey sends. And it's just like, I knew you had to make the decision. I wasn't really going to do it. So I kind of just laid back and kind of let you do it on your timeline almost.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting there, I'm looking at everyone's faces. I'm like, oh, he looks a little aggressive. Like, I don't know if I want to sit by him. Kind of like timing their food consumption. Like, how long is that going to take? When's he getting up? If he gets up and walks down the stairs, I'm going to be in the way. This. There was 2 workers in the back just like talking. I was like, when are they going to leave? Kind of like.
That's unreal. Like, there's not even a single thought of that. Like, that when I was sitting at McDonald's.
Yeah.
I was not looking where they were at in their eating session. Like, didn't know if. I wasn't thinking about it.
Anymore. I had the entire thing mapped out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like play calling, like in the NFL, like getting the scheme down.
Yeah, and we talked about it in a previous podcast where in improv comedy specifically, you were talking about how you wanted to go last so you can like get some skills.
Yeah.
There's no skill like that you're building on this.
Yeah.
So the time you took almost like was a disservice because it just amplified every minute you waited.
Yeah, it did not work in this one. Like after you went, I was... And I think that helped, even in the Starbucks one, going first helped me because I was like, yeah, that was easy. Like, I did it, and we didn't really know what to expect, so you just kind of went in there and did it, and it was good. After you went, I was like, not that anything bad happened, but it made it worse for me because I was like, oh, now I got to do this.
Yeah, the 10% challenge didn't seem... It's definitely made me nervous, but it wasn't overbearing. Like, so for me to go second in that scenario wasn't a huge deal. I didn't mind you going in pen, just doing it, and then seeing how it went, and I knew I could have no problems doing it. The laying on the floor, I definitely wanted to kind of go first, and I tried to jump on an opportunity when I could, because I didn't want to have to sit in that, like... Yeah. Where, yeah. Like, the expectation, you set the bar, if it went super well, it's like, now I got to raise it, and it's, you're kind of thinking, I don't know.
Yeah, I would say between, from the time that you finished to the time I completed the challenge, it was probably like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Which, it was.
It's a long time to be replaying some story.
Yeah.
Running through scenarios.
Yeah, but even just to identify, like, this was not easy for me, like. We talked about the Starbucks one. We got through it. And that wasn't easy either. Like, the train was stressful, but we kind of went up, did it, and that was whatever else. This one took, like, 45 minutes of, like, mental prep for me to actually go down and do it.
Yeah, so the 10% challenge, I would say, it's not necessarily a weird thing to do. It's, I feel like it's a discount. Like, people have asked before. It's not something super out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring that up is you're very cued in, like, am I being weird right
now? Yeah.
Like, that's a big thing for you. So laying on the floor, there's nothing other than weird with that. So I feel like that's what really made that challenge difficult. And I think it was a good breakthrough moment to be able to do something like that for the both of us.
Yeah, it was solid. It definitely, you know, we had talked about how would you be able to do that again right now? And one of the things I brought up was that it's – in my head, it's 30% easier, but I'm also not going to sit on the floor in Pret a Manger right now and just, like, do it again. So it definitely got easier, but, like, to contrast it with the 10% challenge, that 10% challenge, the minute I did it, I could do that at every store in the city that entire day, and it wouldn't have been an issue. So there was improvement, but improvement in a different sense.
Yeah. I would say for me, the laying on the floor, there's no, like, desire to do that on a daily basis.
Well, but 100%.
It's one of those where I got over that initial fear that if we went out in the city again and you're like, dude, go lay on that floor, it's almost 100% chance I'm going to do it for me. Like, that's – but again –
I don't know if I'm at 100 there. Like, for me, that would still be stressful. It wouldn't take 45 minutes this time, but it would be stressful.
Yeah. I think it would be maybe even 10 or 20% less stressful, but I know I've done it in the past, and I know you just got to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's where it's just getting over that. Again, it goes back to that anticipation thing. You don't know what's going to happen from it.
Yeah.
And once you kind of get over that in your mind, now it's like, yeah, I'm going to feel uncomfortable, but I know I've been through it already, so you're just going to do it.
Yeah.
That was a big thing for me more than anything.
Yeah.
It was just that I've done it now, so now I'm at a theory.
Yeah.
And I'm living in something that I can actually say I've done this. Like, that's a big thing for me.
Yeah, it definitely cleaned up a lot of stories that, like, didn't make sense. Like, one of the things I was worried about is, like, again, getting yelled at and, like, get the fuck out of here. Like, some guy just, like, sitting in McDonald's chewing on his cheeseburger going, like, get out of here. Like, you're being annoying. Like, just yelling at me. And I'm, like, walking out all scared. Like, sorry, sir. Sorry. Yeah. Sir, I'm so sorry. So, like, that was going through my head. And I don't think that would ever actually happen now. Now that we've done it. I mean, maybe. You might run into a guy having a bad day. But I would say that story's kind of cleaned up.
Yeah. Again, and it goes back to that line of being rude or disturbing the peace. Like, laying on the floor is not – it's a distraction for people, but you're not harming anyone in any way, and it's only 30 seconds, and then you're leaving.
Yeah.
It's not like you're ruining someone's meal for the whole 20, 30 minutes they're in the restaurant.
Yeah.
It's like – it's a 30-second to a minute thing, and you're off.
Yeah, 100%.
So it's – it was good.
Yeah, so I'll just, like, close out the McDonald's story. I – finally build up the courage. I had to, like, walk. We were in a, call it a corner table, and I had to walk maybe 10, 15 steps to the more main area, top of the stairs. There was a nice big area so people could walk by. And I walk up. There's this guy sitting eating his food. He's one of those tour bus salesmen having a little lunch break at the McDonald's. And he goes, hey, man, what's up? I'm like, nothing. I just sit down on the floor. He's like, yeah, you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm doing good. And just laid in front of this man for like 30, 40 seconds.
I would say it was super fun. You're like doing great while you're sitting on your ass on the floor, and then you just lay back and didn't have a conversation with him. His reaction was priceless because he looked at you and then turned his head back to me like, what's happening here? Like, he was so lost. Yeah. And I thought that was the original tour salesman.
Yeah.
It was a different guy, but I thought it would have been hilarious because just as a backstory, one of the tour guys came up to us. And this was like pre-challenge for you. And I was like just messing with him almost. And I was like, yeah, you know any places you can lay on a floor? And I thought that was the same one. And that you were going to be laying on the floor. I thought it would have been perfect. It would have been amazing if it was him.
Yeah.
But yeah, his reaction was priceless. You definitely got some scanners where they're like doing that eye deal where they're like looking 100 times like, is this actually happening? But overall reaction, you almost like, didn't affect anything.
Yeah.
Like, no one really cared.
Yeah.
It was, like, a weird thing. Like, for me, if I see someone lay on the floor, I'm going to look and be like, what the heck, and maybe have a conversation about it. It was one of those where they looked at you, and they're like, okay. And then they just started eating burger.
Wow, this is a well-dressed homeless man.
And again, yeah, it might be the city. It might be, like, specific McDonald's where it's like, this is not that out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting. I was expecting more of a reaction. Because you had at least 20 people that were capable of seeing you.
Yeah. Yeah, and on the floor, like, all that buildup for the 45 minutes, this is the scariest thing. I was comfortable on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing bad that I was like, oh, my God, I'm sweating on the floor. Once I got on the floor and play there, I was like, this isn't that bad.
Like, the floor that I was on was surprisingly comfortable, and I had no desire to even get up.
Yeah.
It was more of just like, okay, I completed it, so I might as well leave. It wasn't like, oh my God, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah. No, 100%. What did you guys learn from this challenge? Everything is 10% overpriced. Floors are 100%. A great place to sit if there's 100%.
No tables.
100%. Yeah. Gross, Bert. So you got, like, any final takeaways, any final thoughts, any kind of thing that stuck out, thing you would change?
Well, yeah, I mean, you kind of like half kidding with that ending remarks, but it really is true. Like, in a lot of cases, everything is really 10% overpriced. Like, you can get 10% off in a lot of scenarios. So definitely a takeaway from that is try it often, see what happens. It's worth the savings and money. It gets easier and easier as you do it. It's something that you can make into a habit where it's just like you just ask now and it's like on autopilot.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really good takeaway. It's something that anybody can do.
Yeah, it's kind of one of the things I would frame it more as the opportunities are there, but you have to ask for them. Yeah. Like, they're not going to – no one at Starbucks, you're not going to go up to the register and they're going to be like, hey, man, you look like you're having a good day. You want 10% off?
Right.
Like, no one's ever going to do that.
Right.
But if you ask, there is an opportunity to get 10% off. If you ask for that raise, there probably is an opportunity to get a raise. They don't want to hire someone else. That's more work for them.
Right.
They'll just be like, hey, here's some more money. Like, leave.
Yeah, I think a lot of cases where people do want to do good things for other people, it's sometimes easy to get into like a pessimistic view of the world where everyone's like out to get you.
Yeah.
I feel like it makes people feel kind of good. It's like it breaks the routine, especially for a Starbucks barista or one of these type of people. It's like they're doing the same thing over and over, just ring people up, have a good day. How are you? Have a good day.
Yeah.
Kind of break the rhythm a little bit with a 10%. It's like gives them something to talk about.
Yeah, it's kind of like Sebastian Maniscalco's Chipotle skit. Steak, beans, rice, go. And it's like that's kind of their entire day. So if you could come in and you go like, hey, you guys got a dumper? They're like, that's the one moment of the day where they're like, that was the funniest thing that happened to me. Like, work sucked today, but this kid came in and asked if we have a dumper. Have you ever heard someone say dumper before?
Like,
the lady repeated dumper 7 times. She's sitting in Pret a Manger saying dumper. It was like, there's like a foreign couple next to us, like sipping on their cappuccinos, and she's just yelling dumper through Pret a Manger. It was the greatest moment of the day.
Yeah, we established that it's easily top 3 words for us.
Yeah,
at least for me, it's one of my favorite words ever.
Yeah, the order, just to go back to the Grotesburg Pod dumper challenge, you got to go, do you have a dumper? If she says, what is that? You go, a bowl. And if she says, what is that? You go, a shitter. And if she can't get one of those 3, you can say toilet bowl. Those are the rules. And you can't do it with a friend.
Yeah, I thought it more was like, yeah, you got a dumper? Or then you're like, yeah, And they're like, what is that? Like a ball, like you said. And then if they don't get it, it's like, lady, I gotta take a shit.
Yeah, yeah, change the third part. Insert that. All right, so we got off track here, but overall positive experience. I think it's gonna lead to, again, like we're trying to have stepping stones here throughout the 52 weeks. I think this was a good first stepping stone. We had talked about it a couple times how this was something that was so easy to do and we did not want to do it. Now we're glad we did it. You know, this maybe leads to the cold approaches at the bar. This maybe leads to speed dating. This leads to better acting class. This leads to whatever. So building those stepping stones, this is a great first stepping stone for anyone who has, you know, social anxiety or
yeah.
any one of those things. It's a simple thing to do. Very little risk, very little downside. And thank you, Tim Ferriss, for bringing it to our awareness.
Yeah, absolutely. One final remark for me is that this was, in of itself, it was like a super tiny little challenge where it's almost so small that you think you're not going to get any value from it. And I think a takeaway is if it makes you uncomfortable, try it because it's going to lead to another thing that might be a little bit bigger. And eventually over the course of the year, you're going to be doing things that at the beginning of the year you would have never thought you were going to be doing.
100%.
So definitely a spurt weekend.
We got another podcast coming tomorrow and stay tuned.
Stay tuned indeed.
Spurt.
Spurt.